Page 80, number 135, there's a poem that you and I have talked about, that you've alluded to. I mentioned something.
Oh yeah, I love this poem.
Yeah.
This is a poem of such absolute, authentic human truth. I heard sadness cannot be driven away. I didn't think it was true. So yesterday morning, I pushed it back. Today it returned and tangled me up. Months end, but sadness doesn't. Years are renewed, and so is sadness. Who would guess that under my wisteria hat, there is a sadness this old? This is, I put this translation on my Facebook page, and I got so many people saying, I thought I was alone with this depth of sadness. And I see by reading this poem that while I feel it, it isn't mine alone. This is a poem that really confirms, in a way, the Buddha's first noble truth, which is that life is dukkha. Dukkha is often translated as suffering. Suffering is perhaps too strong a word. Dukkha really means utsi. You know, it means life is, there's a kind of dissatisfaction. There's an unsatisfied nature to life. And the second noble truth is the reason for that is because of we're attached to things, or we feel aversion to things. So we want things to be the way we want, and we don't want things that we don't want. And so we're trapped between heaven and earth, as Han Shan said, right? We're trapped by our attachments. Of course, the Buddha says there's a way out of that. But if you look at that last line, who would guess that under my wisteria hat? Now, just think of the image of that. You know, this is, Han Shan made a hat out of wisteria vines, and it must have been beautiful, and it probably smelled very good. But it's an entanglement, right, of vines that he's wearing on his head. Mm-hmm. It probably looks ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It probably looks happy. It probably looks beautiful. But who would guess that underneath that human construction, what we might say in contemporary terms is under my smiling face, there is a sadness this old. Mm-hmm. And you notice it is not his sadness, it's ancient sadness. It's the sadness of the human condition. And that's why he says, I heard sadness cannot be driven away. I didn't think it was true, so yesterday morning I pushed it back, right? Today it returned and tangled me up, just like his wisteria hat. Months end, but sadness doesn't. Right, the human condition doesn't end. Years are renewed, and so is sadness, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the human condition. So this is, I mean, I love this poem so mm-hmm. much because he's really talking about a basic human truth. I don't think it's the kind of personal depression that so many people are feeling here. I think it's something that's in our bones in a way, just from the fact of living. Mm-hmm. I don't want to push too far into a kind of Zen or, you know, Buddhist understanding here, but one of the 100 butterfly poems that I wrote many years ago was, already at birth I was parted, not just from my mother, but body from mind, mind from its source. That's why I take up this soft blade of breath to cut me back into one. I think that's the sadness he's talking about. Already at birth, I was parted. It's the nature of being alive.
The etymology of suffering originally had something to do more with undergoing as another snowfall.
Sasha, it's okay, but that's why I won't let her out on the deck. Bury her.
That would have buried her.
Oh,
yeah.
That's ice.
Yeah, very heavy, wet snow.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Suffering really means undergoing, going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what you do.
Yeah, which is why, you know, you say, yesterday morning I pushed it back. Right, okay. I feel like breaking into gray skies are going to clear up, put on a happy face. Well, it's not going to help you, buddy. It may.
But if you learn how to plow, maybe that'll help.
Well, yeah. I mean, on the other hand, it is important to not believe the story that we tell ourselves, you know, about our sadness, and you know, to not believe the story that just because life is difficult, it will always be difficult and always be terrible. You know, there is a way for us to embrace that sadness that nourishes the growth of joy, and we should know that.
Can you elaborate on that? Embracing the sadness to prepare.
Well, you're not going to be able to push it away. I mean, in modern psychological terms, perhaps that's called suppression or repression or some kind of, you know, something like that. Not expression, you know, whatever the opposite of that is, you know. But if you take it, hi, sweetheart, hi, love. If you don't reject the fact of life's difficulty, but you embrace it. By embracing it, it means that you take it in as one of the things that you need to take care of in your own personal life. And then you start to learn how to take care of that what seems to be kind of inherent human sadness. You will then start to nourish the parts of you that know how to respond to it. And that sadness can be turned into nourishment for joy. Whereas if you try to push it away, you will always be in an oppositional relationship with the facts of life. But one of the other facts of life is that we're able to transform things. You know, our life is alchemical in a way. We're able to transform straw into gold. You know, we're all Rumpelstiltskin in some way. But we're able also to transform, by embracing it, life's rigor, life's difficulty, into strength, into beauty, into love. It's one of the things that art does. I don't think people are artists because they suffer. Everybody suffers, not everyone's an artist. But an artist knows in some way how to take the difficulty, as I said, the rigor of living, and let it feed an expression that ends up a different matter in some way. And if an artist, you know, another way to say it is that it's not an artist's capacity for suffering that makes the art. It's an artist's capacity to transform that suffering that helps make the art, if the art, you know, artist is really involved. And then is really in touch with herself or in touch with himself. And then the miracle is that somebody else that they will never meet, either in their lifetime or 1,000 years later, will also be transformed by the expression because it was, as we said at the beginning, authentically known and authentically expressed. So we can transform.
In a high energy construct.
In a high energy construct. Right. Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, you know, I'm 73 this year. Maybe I could have a little lower energy construct.
Well, or maybe when you're 73, it can be high energy, but maybe for not as long.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's the ratio.